There are so many women out there that are taking a stand against gender inequality and are paving the way for the future generation. Ordinary women that are creating a more inclusive and powerful society, free from stereotypes, racism and sexism. And I'm here to share their stories with all of you. Stay tuned, because this is WenPower, your source of inspiring, powerful and positive stories. And I'm here to discover how we can change the narrative, one story at a time. I am your host, Ilaria Biancacci, journalist and founder of WenPower.
Our guest is Valerie Bosman-Corsi. Born and bred is Lintonian, she has worked several years in education and she's a governor in a secondary school. Valerie is a Labour Party councillor, activist and member of the Black Policy Institute. If you remember, we previously met her during our International Women's Day Live and discussed the role that intersectionality plays in gender equality and inclusion. But today, we are here to talk about the Black Policy Institute and the role that this think tank is playing in raising and empowering diversity and inclusion in policy making. Thank you, Valerie, for being with us today.
Thank you, and really appreciate this platform to speak to you this morning. And yes, I'm recently elected local councillor, still a community campaigner in my own right. And this is what kind of is the bedrock for me, which is about policy making. So the Black Policy Institute was founded by our CEO, which is Brian Channer. And there's a few of us, about seven, and we're the sort of foundation directors. And the reason why we came together was to try and establish a little bit more equity. What we find is that when it comes to policy making, a lot of policies are made without us at the table. So when I say us, I mean African and Afro-Caribbean people from the diaspora. It's really important for us that we have a stake in policy making. We want to influence change, and we have the four E's as a model. So influence change in education, employment, and the environment, and economics. I say economics last, even though I should probably say that first, because we know with everything, money is the forefront, the sole provider. But I say it last because of who I am and my position within advocacy and policy making within a think tank. So my strategic, goal is, and my remit is to engage with the community. So I am the coordinator in terms of strategy and marketing. So how do we reach those hard-to-reach communities? Are they hard to reach? And what is the advocacy or the driving force that we can do to enrich their lives and the whole of the UK, actually? We're 4.4 million within the UK. And what is sad to see is that often we don't see ourselves in those four areas that I've mentioned in E, so whether that be in education, economics and policy making, in the environment, one of the biggest global pandemics we have, apart from being in COVID-19, we have the environmental issue that often doesn't see African and Afro-Caribbean people at the table as stakeholders, influencing change in policy making. And when it comes to the other E, which is employment, we know that we're always disproportionately impacted when it comes to accessing work. So what we find is we are sort of like a beacon, so to speak, or a go-between, so that we can help different political parties to see and recognise the strengths that African and Afro-Caribbean people have, so that they can actually access different industries. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a snippet. Don't want to talk for too long, but that's a little snippet of what we do, what we represent.
Well, I think it's really needed at the point where we are right now in the United Kingdom, and also because, as you say, there is not much representation of Black, African, Caribbean in politics. The faces that we see are always the same, and they are not representative of the complexity of the community in the UK. As a woman as well, there is another intersectionality factor, obviously, that come into this conversation. So would you also focus on how gender is influencing even more? I mean, Black community are already marginalized somehow from, as you say, education, employment, environment, and economics. But also when we put gender into the equation, how the situation change?
One of our co-CEOs, because we have this model of collaboration. So even though Brian Channer is the CEO, we do have an amazing lady who is sort of like the co-director. And what she has enabled us to do is kind of spearhead with myself and other women within the institute to see how we alleviate, I guess, the deficit of not having enough women in politics. So the drive is to develop a sort of like a lab. So we have a model where we try to translate templates. We do creative, programs where we deliver in different spaces. So whether it's education or whether it's in business. So we look at how come we don't have enough female CEOs, and how come women are sometimes are hard to reach, is because they feel a reluctance to get involved in politics. I'm very smiley usually, but when I talk about politics, I feel like I have to almost like compensate without a smile, because it's such a kind of grey world, and often I try not to be too smiling and be a bit more stern. And that's because of the representation or the lack of within the sphere of politics. And within our innovative models, we do also organise. So we work with empowering women to take up roles in politics, to take up roles in CEOs. So a part of our programmes is these different models, and we deliver them. So we're only based at the moment in London. Mm-hmm. We're trying to kind of have a sort of north, east, south, west approach, and we're trying to work with as many institutions to advocate for what we're trying to do and be an incubator for like making loads of ideas and a sort of, I don't know what you call them, but like a conjurat. So we'll be a conjurat for different think tanks that might have lack of representation, diversity, mm-hmm. and then we'll try and help them to find these great, amazing, self-identifying women and, African and Afro-Caribbean people, and especially young people. So our thing is actually get them young. So we are trying to tour around in London at local schools, and at that level we are then hitting education, and then hopefully we'll tackle the employment deficit, and then we'll move on to the environment, because obviously if you have a good education foundation, then you also have then a really good access to employment that will get you out of the rut of, you know, maybe you're in unaffordable, social housing, and you want to get out of this, they think if you're from a certain background, you can't get a good job. You can't be a CEO of an amazing entrepreneurial, innovative idea or business. So that is the kind of driving force. What we want to do is work with young people and then target women, but within that sort of UK diaspora of African and Afro-Caribbean communities.
That was what I wanted to ask you after. It was exactly how, if you are already in touch with schools and if you're engaging with the young generation, because it's not that the change cannot happen with someone that is already grow up in this culture and has a certain mindset, but definitely if you want to make a change that will last, you will need to speak to the young generation.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that if you kind of like from a certain background, you feel like you don't belong somewhere else. Do you think this is just a cultural, political situation, or is also due to how Black people are represented as well through media, even advertising? I don't know, there was a big, massive complaining when Tesco and Sainsbury came up with the Christmas ads. They were representing, just a regular Black family, which is something that maybe we are not so used to see on TV, but then why do we need to get upset, So do you think apart from like the culture, so growing up with the idea if my parents couldn't make it, I can't either. So this sort of like mindset, but also do you think representation play a role in this and how maybe we can change that?
I mean, you're so true because, you know, we didn't come about very easily, the Black Policy Institute. One of the things that we found a bit tricky, or should I say a bit of a challenge, was what do we call ourselves? Because we didn't want to hide away from the fact that we are Black, and that there's a disproportionate amount of think tanks that are already out there. They may start with a really good, meaningful position, but they're dispositioned because of the fact that we have lack of representation. So we want to be a different kind of think tank. So instead of saying we're this or we're that, we said, no, let's just go for it. Let's be emboldened and be powerful and say, we are the Black Policy Institute, which, you know, Black even in itself can ruffle a few feathers. It can be maybe a bit derogatory, in terms of how people might see Black. But we see it as being empowering. And because we're African and Afro-Caribbean UK diasporans, we also want to transcend and work with people overseas. So in terms of schools, what we're trying to do is, because we do believe that's the foundation, we are trying our best with the minimal resources that we have to actually go to different schools and talk about the Black Policy Institute, talk about empowerment, talk about development, and how do we organise efficiently. We also talk about championing learning practices. You just mentioned about the advertisement, and there's poor, I think the telecoms and all the organisations that struggle in this, because there is a lack of diversity in representation. Even when we think about intersectionality, we often only see Black men possibly portrayed in some sectors of employment. Like I mentioned about CEOs, we don't see Black women. We don't see, for example, you know, how many principals do you see in a school as women? Not that it's very few.
Many.
And, you know, even in the world of tech and innovation and, you know, STEM is something that also I want to champion, because I always loved science. But I found that the literacy deficit for me was very hard to unpick. And I think a lot of Black children and young people find this struggle. But because we teach a certain way in our schools, and this is no fault of anybody, it's that we're building on a model that's been there for centuries, right? So it's about trying to see how do we encourage other people from different walks of life to become community champions within teaching, within science, STEM, and within the world of technology and whatever have you. So there's a lot of work that we need to do. We have our own set model, and we're trying to be innovative and creative and imaginative in terms of how we package politics. I think that's going to be really important and key to break this disproportionate amount of representation. And you mentioned about the advert. There's other things that I think we could mention, that, you know, even with the Black Lives Matter and the dance group Diversity, who recently won an award, and even that could spark a lot of controversy. But it's a good thing to see young people step up and tell a story. And that's what's been missing, I think. We're not storytelling enough. And that's why we're looking at working more in education and obviously empowering women.
Well, storytelling is part of our job as Wempower. And in this year, I've done so many interviews also with, not just here in the UK, but with women from other countries. And most of them, they were representative of Black communities, minorities in their countries. And they're all doing amazing things. And for me, the struggle is really, how come we cannot represent them? And then when you look at, if you look at the CEO of like media companies, newspaper, who runs a newsroom, in the end, the reason why you don't see this representation is because the people we want to talk to are not there. So it's really sad, because the examples are out there. So if you don't show this to the young generation, then of course we cannot make a change. So it's really, It's a very complicated game. I think there is a lot of work to do, apart from politics, education, like many other aspects of society needs to change. Because it's really, and as you say, we all have a story and we should like be able to share that story a little bit more and in the best way so true. That we can really make an impact.
So true.
And if would you like to speak to our followers and our audience, can they help somehow, the Black Policy Institute? Yeah. How can they support you?
Yeah, it's about being that catalyst for change, you know, CC, so many acronyms, but being a catalyst for change also means being an ally, you know, an amazing ally, being a mensch. I work in a Jewish school, and one of the founding pillars of my school is they use the term mensch and the sense of pluralism. We have to learn to coexist. And I think in the UK, we've been hiding away from addressing, you know, racism and that fear of difference. And we use the term to tolerate somebody. And that's not the correct literature kind of or literacy term we should be using. We should be acceptant of one another. And I think that's something that we've got to start to change. So the language that we use and being a part of the Black Police Institute doesn't mean, yeah, obviously you may be African or Afro-Caribbean, but to be an ally does not mean you have to be either of those. It can be our white counterparts that want to really, again, as I use the word, you know, be community catalysts for change, CCC. I think that's really important. And, you know, we know that, you know, with everything we do, it's, again, it's about the economics, you know, and we are set back by this. So, you know, contributing by maybe monetary funds is really great. So donations or having some ideas that you might think to yourself that would really impact, you know, young people and women within our, you know, Black communities would be really helpful. And I think just wherever you can find us, just speaking about us with friends, because allyship doesn't just come from just those that might have the monetary funds or that might be in the positions of power changing. We can all change in different walks of our lives and within our remits, obviously. I'm not asking anyone to go beyond, but being an ally for change, you can be in any walk of life and learn more about our history and how we enrich culture and how better places are when we have this diversity, you know, and inclusion and acceptance. And I think that would be really amazing if we have people like that, you know, supporting us. And then we'll be able to, you know, take over the UK and embrace America and, you know, go to Europe. Because I think there's a lot of appetite for the Black Policy Institute. We're unlike any other think tank, and might as well put this one in there, like even having myself on board and the other directors, it's been really empowering. And I think we are gonna have these different you know, new future kind of community catalysts for change, you know, mensches in all sectors of life, really taking on and the challenge to embrace diversity and inclusion and acceptance in all its forms. So I'm just really grateful for having this opportunity to speak to you this morning and just say watch this space, and you're a great ally to us and many others that are out there. And if you need to know more about us, there's a website, the Black Police Institute. We're still young in our tenure, but we're here for life. And we're hoping that even when us old clogs have, you know, worn out the Black Policy Institute with all of our amazing innovative ideas, then the next generation will step up, and then hopefully it'll be a continuation of this for many years to come. So, yeah.
Well, I don't want to add anything else to this, because this was just very, very powerful and inspiring for me. So Thank you for sharing this with us. I'm sure that between all our followers, there will be someone interested. And it's really important for us to give you a platform to just share what you're doing and just keep us posted with all the coming initiative. And thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
If this was your first time listening to Empower Podcast, thank you for taking the time. You can find us on Podbean and Spotify. Subscribe to our newsletter on wempower.co and keep up to date with all the future projects on all our social media at Wempower UK. Thank you to all the women out there that are following and supporting Wempower. I will continue to bring to you powerful, inspiring and positive stories from all over the world. Don't forget, together we empower women. This is Ilaria for Wempower Podcast. Until next time.